As they gaze around at the strange landscape, Carl, Darren, and Julie couldn't help but feel a sense of excitement and trepidation. They had traveled through the Bermuda Triangle, and now they found themselves in a place that was both familiar and yet utterly foreign. "We need to get out of here," Darren said, his voice slow and urgent. "This place is freaky," Carl nodded in agreement. "Yeah, let's try to find some kind of landmark or something. Maybe we can figure out where we are," Julie frowned, his brow furrowed with concern. "But what if this isn't a normal place? What if it's not even Earth?" The three friends exchanged worried glances. They had heard stories about places like this before, strange dimensional rifts and parallel universes that were said to be inhabited by creatures from other worlds. As they stood there, trying to make sense of the situation, a faint humming noise began to build in the distance. It grew louder and louder, until suddenly a massive spaceship came into view, hovering above the twisted landscape. "Whoa," Carl breathed. "What is this thing?" Darren's eyes lit up with excitement. "It looks like some kind of rescue vessel," but Julie just shook his head. "I don't think so. This doesn't look like any rescue mission I've ever seen." As the ship landed with a thud, the three friends exchanged nervous glances. What lay ahead for them in this strange and unknown place? As the ship door opened, a figure emerged. It was Carl's wife, Louise. Her eyes were stern and serious, and she beckoned the three friends to follow her. "Come with me if you want to live," she said, her voice low and urgent. Carl, Darren, and Julie exchanged nervous glances before jumping onto the ship. The vessel lifted off the ground, leaving the strange landscape behind. As they soared through space, the boys couldn't help but wonder what was going on. Why had Louise, Carl's wife, taken them aboard? And why did she look so concerned? When the ship finally landed, the boys' eyes adjusted to the familiar surroundings of Carl's house in Oak Ridge. But something felt off. The air seemed thick and heavy, like a fog that clung to their skin. "Welcome back," Louise said, her voice still laced with urgency. "But you must understand, this is not reality." "What do you mean?" Darren asked, his brow furrowed in confusion. Louise's eyes darted around the room, as if searching for something. "You see, your reality is about to collapse. The rift has opened up, and we need to find a way to close it before it's too late." The boys looked at each other, unsure of what to make of Louise's words. But one thing was certain, they had been changed forever. Louise stepped closer to the boys, her eyes burning with an intensity that made their skin crawl. "I can't tell you any more unless you're willing to unplug," she said, her voice low and husky. The three friends exchanged uneasy glances. "Unplug from what?" "From reality." "I'm not sure I understand," Carl said, his brow furrowed in confusion. Louise smiled, a cold and calculating smile. "You will soon enough." She pulled out two small pills from her pocket, a red one and a blue one. "Take the blue pill, and you'll forget everything that's happened since you left Japan. You'll go back to your normal lives, but you won't remember any of this." Darren's eyes widened as he stared at the pills. "What's the other pill do?" he asked, his voice barely above a whisper. Louise's smile grew wider. "The red pill will wake you up. It will take you deeper into the rabbit hole, and you'll see things that no one else sees. But be warned, once you take it, there's no going back." Carl's eyes darted between the pills, his mind racing with the implications. He looked at Darren and Julie, wondering what they would do. "We need to think about this," Carl said finally, his voice firm. "We can't just blindly take a pill without knowing what it does," Louise chuckled, her laughter cold and mirthless. "You don't have time for thinking, boys. You need to make a decision now. The fate of your reality hangs in the balance." The three friends looked at each other, weighing their options. What would they choose? Would they take the blue pill and forget everything, or would they take the red pill and descend into madness? Carl looked at Louise, his eyes searching for any sign that she was still his wife. But her expression remained impassive, her black leather outfit and sunglasses making her look like a stranger. "Fine," Carl said finally, his voice firm. "We'll take the red pill." Darren and Julie nodded in agreement, their faces pale with uncertainty. Louise handed each of them a red pill, her movements swift and deliberate. "You're making a big mistake," she said, her voice devoid of emotion. "But you won't regret it yet." As they swallowed the pills, the room began to distort around them. Colors deepened, shadows lengthened, and the air seemed to thicken with an otherworldly energy. The three friends stumbled forward, their minds reeling from the sudden shift in perception. Louise led them through a maze of twisting corridors, each step revealing new secrets and horrors that lurked just beyond the edge of reality. "What's happening?" Darren whispered, his voice barely audible over the pounding of his heart. "This is what happens when you take the red pill," Louise replied, her eyes glinting with an unnatural light. "You see the world for what it truly is." Carl's vision began to clear as he opened his eyes. He found himself in a dimly lit room, surrounded by rows of humming machinery and computer terminals. Louise was standing over him, her face filled with concern. "Carl, can you hear me?" she asked, her voice gentle and soothing. As Carl struggled to sit up, he saw Darren and Julie watching him from across the room. They looked pale and worried, but their eyes seemed to hold a glimmer of hope. What's going on?" Carl asked, his voice hoarse from disuse. "You're in a simulation," Louise replied, her hands hovering over his shoulders. A simulated reality designed to keep humanity trapped in a world of illusion, Carl's mind reeled as he tried to process this information. He looked around the room, taking in the rows of machinery and computers. It was all so familiar. "Who are you?" Carl asked again, his eyes locked on Louise. "I'm your ally," she replied, her smile warm and reassuring. "My name is Louise, but my friends call me Trinity." As Carl's confusion cleared, he saw a glimmer of recognition in Darren and Julie's eyes. They seemed to understand something that he didn't, something important. "What do you mean?" Carl asked, his voice growing more urgent. "We are here to help you," Louise replied, her eyes locked on his. "We've been searching for you, Carl. You're the key to breaking free from the simulated reality." Carl's mind reeled as he tried to comprehend what was happening. He looked around the room again, taking in the machines and computers. And then a figure appeared at the door. "Ah, excellent," the newcomer said, his voice smooth and commanding. "I see we're making progress." Carl turned to face him, his eyes narrowing. Who was this man? What did he want? As Carl turned to face the newcomer, his eyes narrowed in suspicion. The man was tall and lean, with piercing blue eyes that seemed to bore into Carl's soul. "Welcome, Carl," the man said, his voice smooth as silk. "My name is Morpheus." Carl's brow furrowed in confusion. There was something about this man that seemed familiar, but he couldn't quite place it. "You might know me as Chris," the man continued, his eyes glinting with amusement. "I find that people respect me more when I'm not plugged into the Matrix." Carl raised an eyebrow, intrigued by the stranger's words. "What do you mean?" he asked, his curiosity getting the better of him. Morpheus, or Chris, as Carl used to call him, smiled wryly. "I mean that when people see me unplugged, they're forced to confront the reality of their own existence. They can't hide behind the veil of the Matrix." Carl's mind was reeling with questions, but before he could ask any of them, Chris continued. "You see, Carl, I've been watching you. You have a certain spark within you, a spark that could potentially ignite a revolution." Carl's eyes locked onto Morpheus, his heart pounding in his chest. "What do you mean?" he asked again, his voice barely above a whisper. Morpheus' smile grew wider. "I mean that I believe you have the potential to free humanity from this simulated reality, and I'm willing to help you achieve that." As Carl looked around at Darren and Julie, he saw that they were watching him with an intensity that made him feel like they knew something he didn't. "What do you want me to do?" Carl asked, his voice still barely above a whisper. Chris' eyes glinted with a fierce determination. "I want you to trust me, Carl, trust me, and together we can change the course of human history." Morpheus smiled, his eyes glinting with amusement. "You three share a special bond, one that's been hidden for centuries. You are the keys to unlocking humanity's greatest potential." Carl's brow furrowed in confusion. "What do you mean? How are we connected?" Morpheus leaned forward, his voice taking on a conspiratorial tone. "Let's just say that your unique connection is what makes you the perfect candidates for this mission, and I'm not just talking about any ordinary mission and talking about a revolution." As Carl looked at Darren and Julie, he saw that they were watching him with an intensity that made him feel like they knew something he didn't. "What kind of revolution?" Carl asked, his voice barely above a whisper. Morpheus' smile grew wider. "A revolution against the Matrix, against the simulated reality that's been controlling humanity for centuries." Carl's mind was reeling with questions, but before he could ask any of them, Morpheus continued. "You see, Carl, or should I say Keo?" Morpheus said, a mischievous glint in his eye. "From now on, you'll be known as Keo, Darren will be called Ghost, and Julie will be referred to as Switch." Carl's eyes widened in surprise. "What? Why?" Morpheus chuckled. "Because these names hold a special significance. They represent the keys to unlocking your true potential." As Carl looked at Darren and Julie, he saw that they were nodding in agreement. It was as if they had been waiting for this moment all along. "What do we have to do?" Keo asked again, his voice growing more determined. Morpheus' eyes glinted with a fierce determination. "You have to free humanity from the Matrix together." As Keo looked at Ghost and Switch, he saw that they were ready to stand by him. They were his team, his family, and together they would change the course of human history. "Then let's get started," Keo said, a fire burning in his belly. Morpheus nodded. "I knew you'd be up for the challenge. Now, let's dive into the Matrix and start our revolution." As Keo, Ghost, and Switch prepare to embark on their mission, Morpheus has locked onto a figure standing in the shadows. Trinity emerged from the darkness, her presence radiating an aura of quiet confidence. "Ah, Trinity," Morpheus said, his voice low and smooth. "I've called you here for a reason, Keo, Ghost, and Switch will need your expertise on this mission." Trinity nodded, her eyes scanning the trio with a hint of curiosity. Morpheus continued, his gaze fixed on the ring in his hand. "This is the key to our plan. It's been passed down through generations, and it's the only way we can free humanity from the Matrix." He opened his palm, revealing the ring. On its inner surface, a binary code seemed to pulse with an otherworldly energy. "What do you mean?" Keo asked, his eyes fixed on the ring. "This ring," Morpheus began, "contains a code that can unlock the secrets of the Matrix, but it's not just any code, it's a code that will allow us to destroy the simulated reality and free humanity." Ghost and Switch leaned forward, their eyes narrowing in unison. "How do we get rid of it?" they asked in tandem. Morpheus smiled grimly. We need to take this ring and melt it in the lava pit at the center of the Matrix. It's the only way to release its power and shatter the illusion that has held humanity captive for so long. Trinity spoke up, her voice calm but resolute. I'm with you on this mission. When do we start? Morpheus' gaze swept over the group before landing on Kia. Now, we have no time to waste. The Matrix is waiting for us. Morpheus piloted his ship through a labyrinthine network of underground tunnels, the darkness illuminated only by faint, flickering lights. Kia, Ghost, Switch, and Trinity huddled together, their eyes fixed on the navigation console as Morpheus expertly navigated the twisting passages. This is it, Morpheus announced, his voice echoing off the metal walls. We were approaching the surface. The ship burst into a bright, sunlit landscape, the wasteland stretching out before them like an endless sea of desolation. The air was thick with dust and debris, the once blue sky now a sickly shade of yellow. As they emerged from the tunnels, Kyo's eyes widened in awe at the sight before him. By the gods, this is the wasteland, Ghost whistled softly, his gaze fixed on the horizon where the burning green eye loomed, its malevolent presence palpable even at such a distance. Trinity's eyes narrowed, her hand instinctively reaching for the grip of her gun. Is that the center of the Matrix? She asked, her voice barely above a whisper. Morpheus nodded gravely. Ah, yes, that is the Oracle's Eye, the heart of the Matrix, and it's where you four will need to go if you hope to destroy it. The ship came to a stop at the edge of the wasteland, Morpheus turning off the engines. This is as far as I can take you. You four are on your own from here on out. With that, he vanished, leaving Kyo, Ghost, Switch, and Trinity to gaze out upon the desolate landscape, their fate hanging in the balance. The four of them huddled behind a makeshift barricade of crates and debris, their eyes fixed on the behemoth that loomed before them. The burning green eye seemed to pulse with anotherworldly energy, its gaze sweeping across the desolate landscape as if it could see everything. Well, this is quite the entrance, Ghost said dryly, his voice low and even. I didn't exactly expect to be greeted by a giant, flaming eyeball. Trinity's eyes narrowed, her grip on her gun tightening. We need to get moving. We can't stay here for long. She glanced at the eye, her expression grim. That thing is wrong. It's like nothing I've ever seen before. Switch nodded, his digital eyes fixed on the eye as well. I agree. We need to get closer and figure out what it is and how we're going to take it down. He paused, his expression thoughtful. We can't underestimate its power. It could be a major obstacle between us and our goal. The others nodded in agreement, their faces set with determination. They knew they had a long way to go before reaching the eye, but they were ready for whatever lay ahead.